Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, our regular Monday guest, is back with us. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. Greg, of course, hails from Vancouver, British Columbia, and Canada, and is involved in a series of things to attempt to combat the influence of the Israeli lobby worldwide, to bring our attention to the disaster that is presently being followed by the United States, as we are the dog that is being wagged by the tail in regard to what has been going on in these last 60 years in Palestine and in Mesopotamia and in Persia. And folks, when we read this morning that there is actual talk that the United States might in fact intervene militarily in Pakistan, talk emanating directly from the White House, how much crazier can this get? Greg, how are you, sir?
Very well, Mark. Yourself?
Well, fine. I've been taking a look this morning at your op-ed piece of July 5th entitled, As Major Events Unfold, the Media Keeps Us Ignorant and Distracted. And, you know, when I read through your op-ed, Greg, it reminds me of what Peter Phillips was talking about on this show last week when he was connecting with us from Sonoma State University in California. And that is that this is exactly what corporate media does, and that it's not a byproduct, an unintended byproduct of what they do, but that it, in fact, is a part of deliberate directive policy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you have to wonder just how weird the mainstream press is. If you pick up American Free Press or Behind the Headlines by Justin Raimondo, WhatReallyHappened.com, which is Mike Rivero, and other organizations, you look at the kind of stories they have, and then you look at the kind of stories that you find in, say, the daily press, we call the mainstream press, you have to wonder whether we're talking about people reporting on the same planet, because you have some stories that simply don't get reported. And you have to question why one source of information seems to have a lot of specifics, a lot of controversial stories, and one seems to be full of essentially distraction. I picked up one of the local papers here in BC, the Victoria Times Colonist. It's not one of your better papers out here. And I looked at the back of the front section. And on the inside back page, they had a whole major section about Paris Hilton and Eva Longoria and how and why they pose the way they do and how much effort it takes to learn how to pose a certain way. And I thought, what a useless piece of news. I thought, what real news story was spiked so that this nonsense could be put in the papers? You notice that it's not so much that the mainstream press doesn't report the news, but that they fill it with so much infotainment that it is there to distract people, to make them feel that, oh, this is important, or this is light, this is not serious, and maybe we don't have to worry so much about the world if we don't see anything bad about the world. And this is the real travesty, is that we're being anesthetized. Because the purpose of the press these days is not to inform, but to selectively disinform, selectively shield you from what really matters, so that you don't start asking difficult questions. You don't start wondering why the world is the way it is. Because the minute you start reporting what's going on, the minute you start having an informed, critical electorate,
we'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today, as usual on Monday, by Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. And for purposes of launching our conversation with Greg Felton this morning, I would recommend that you go to gregfelton.com. And to Greg's front page op-ed piece for the Canadian Arab News of July the 5th, 2007. It's entitled, "As Major Events Unfold, the Media Keeps Us Ignorant and Distracted." The media keeps us ignorant and distracted. And as I was reading Greg's op-ed piece in the wee hours this morning, again, it dovetails beautifully with what we talked about with Professor Peter Phillips last week from Sonoma State University about this whole issue of corporate control of media and the overlapping ownership interests that characterize corporate media as it relates to multinational corporate structures and especially to the Israeli lobby. Greg, you were talking in this July 5th piece for the Canadian Arab News specifically about an experience that you had when you called a local radio station up there in Canada to complain about their selection of news stories, what they were talking about, as well as what they weren't talking about. Share a little bit of that experience with the listeners. I think it illustrates your point beautifully.
Yeah, well, I was in the car in late June, and I heard a piece about Iran and how they were being criticized for executing juveniles. And, you know, it was just one of a number of anti-Iranian pieces that I'd heard frequently on the local press. And I called to find out how and why that particular item was selected for broadcast. And I was told that it was selected by a man named Gordon MacDonald, who was the assignment editor. Now, just to back up a second, there had been a massive shakeup at CKNW, the major news station in BC. Massive layoffs due to high overhead and low revenues because they lost the contract to broadcast the Vancouver Canucks hockey game. A major, major loss. And that went to the rival station. 10:40 a.m. And so the station was losing money, a lot of revenue, so they had to pare down its operations. So MacDonald was now, rather than news director, he was just the assignment editor, and is now a talk show host as well. So the problem here is that he selected this, and I thought, okay, fine. And I got this woman in the newsroom explaining to me how and why it happened. She said, well, you know, it came off the Associated Press newswire, and it was selected for broadcast. Okay. I was wondering why that particular story was selected when there are far more interesting and relevant stories to the listeners out here than that one, particularly the question of the events in the Gaza Strip, where Hamas reacted to forestall a coup d'etat launched that was being threatened by Fatah and the United States, because when Hamas moved into Gaza and took over Fatah's offices, they found definitive proof that the coup d'etat was being planned. Because, as you know, the Fatah party, led by Mahmoud Abbas, is in bed with the United States and Israel, because Mahmoud Abbas is, of course, one of the so-called moderate Arabs that is willing to work with Israel, which is a euphemism for saying it's willing to sell out Palestine for his own personal aggrandizement because he wants to look good in Israel's eyes. And, you know, when this was found, it wasn't reported. All we knew is that Hamas staged the coup. Hamas attacked Mahmoud Abbas. And we are, of course, led to the standard story, the standard propaganda, that it's always Mahmoud Abbas who is the legitimate government of Palestine. But, of course, Abbas is not the government. He's just the president. The government is elected, and the government that was elected was the government led by Hamas. Ismail Haniyeh was appointed prime minister by Abbas in a joint Hamas-Fatah government. Now, Israel will not tolerate, under any circumstances, Hamas. It does not acknowledge Hamas's right to exist, much as it does not acknowledge Palestine's right to exist. And so there has been a consistent effort of the world to freeze out and to isolate and ostracize Hamas. And I've been reading about this a number of places. One of the most useful, important places is, of course, the electronic intifada.net, which is run by Ali Abu Minah. And I've been reading considerably about this and looking at the definitive evidence they found of collusion between Israel, the Central Intelligence Agency, and Fatah, Abbas's party. And so I asked this woman why there had been no reporting about this from CKNW, which is, of course, supposed to be the major news story in Canada, in British Columbia. Well, the minute I suggested that, her tone changed from one of, you know, polite, you know, listening and trying to answer my questions, into one of abject hostility. She says, "I don't have time for conspiracy theories about the Middle East." As if who's talking about a conspiracy theory? I was talking about information that had been reported. Some of it in the mainstream press, but very, very little. Sort of it gets reported in parts of it, then it dies out. develops no legs. It's just left to die. And she says, well, you know, we don't have the resources for international news coverage. We're a small station. We don't have international correspondents. Okay. No one's suggesting you need international correspondents. You do need, however, an internet connection. And I said, I assume you have someone there who knows how to use the internet, that you can find your own stories. And you don't have to rely on the Associated Press wire service. And I get this out, and the next thing she starts yelling at me is, take it to the CBC! Take it to the CBC! Which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is a public broadcaster not dependent on revenue for its operation. And she's telling me this, and she hangs up. And that was a very bizarre experience, because I simply asked a simple question, and I get this hysterical response. And what interested me is not so much that this woman didn't give me a good answer, it's that it was the tone of her answer. It was panicked. It's as if I had asked an unspeakable question. It's as if I were living in, oh, say, 14th century Italy, and I asked asked the Pope, how is it possible that, the Earth is the center of the universe and not the sun? Wouldn't it make more sense from a structural point of view to explain the perturbations in Mars's orbit? You know, I would have been strung up on my thumbs or worse. I asked the unaskable question. And it made me wonder if we aren't living in a world where we're afraid. We're not allowed to ask basic questions to come up with proper answers. And, you know, as Thomas Jefferson said, the best guarantee of a democracy is an informed electorate. Well, we don't have an informed electorate. At least that's not the purpose of the press. We're supposed to have an ignorant electorate that is not meant to ask questions beyond what they're spoon-fed by the palace press, whose purpose is not to inform, but to prop up the government, to prop up official points of view. Now, this is not a unique thing in the history of press. I mean, there's never been a truly free press. But it is so conspicuous today that even the right of dissent is being criminalized, the right to have a point of view other than that which you're force-fed by the government or by a foreign government, in this case Israel. We're not allowed to ask questions. We're not allowed to have debate. I mean, this is a very sad state of affairs. And here in Canada, the press is really so afraid to step on the toes of Israel that it simply will not discuss the matter. And I thought that was a sad, sad commentary. And, of course, we end up with these distraction stories about Iran, which may or may not be true. I'm not saying it wasn't true. But I'm saying it wasn't really important. You can go through a wire service. You can find any negative story about Iran you want. Throw it on the air. Call it news. You will skip over 10 stories about Israeli atrocities in Palestine, like the recent bombings of Gaza. They're still bombing Gaza. They're still torturing children in the West Bank. They're still tearing up olive groves that belong to Palestinians, contrary to Jewish law. But you won't find that in the Canadian press. And I doubt very much you'll find that in the American press either, Mark.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And as your story points out, Greg, this whole business of this utilization of Mahmoud Abbas and the Fatah party to stage a coup against the democratically elected Palestinian government and the fact that the United States and the American CIA were directly involved in this whole thing with Israel is something, as you point out, that appears in some detail in the June 22nd Guardian in Britain, a piece by Jonathan Steele. We might take a look at that just briefly when we come back, what Mr. Steele has to say about the situation, and then talk about Alexander Cockburn and a couple of other things today that have appeared on Rudolph Giuliani and John McCain and a few others. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
I found this company online and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. Just wanted to mention an update from Ted Pike from a couple of days ago. The hate bill has been delayed until September. Senator Levin's amendment to the Department of Defense Reauthorization Bill, H.R. 1585, required troop withdrawal from Iraq. When the amendment was defeated earlier this week, Democrats decided to withdraw the entire arms bill. They will submit a revised version in September. This means Senator Kennedy's hate crimes amendment, SA 2067, won't face a vote until fall. When it comes to the hate crimes thing, folks, this is apparently where it is. It has now been delayed in the U.S. Senate until the fall. This gives you some renewed opportunities between now and then to weigh in with your senators on this whole issue of hate crimes legislation and why we need to oppose it for all of the very clear reasons as it relates to the First Amendment and as it relates to attempts to criminalize freedom of speech and freedom of thought. However much we might disagree with some of these specific things that are said and thought. They are protected constitutionally. Clearly, this hate crimes legislation, when we look at what has happened in Canada, is designed in the United States to stifle debate and even thought in regard to certain topics. And it is not an accident, in my judgment, that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is the chief force behind this hate crimes legislation in the United States. Why is that? I think when we look at Canada, the answers provided up there, I think, are entirely suggestive. We're back with Greg Felton now. Greg, before we move on to a couple of other news items today that I think are certainly connected to what we've already been talking about, when it comes to what Jonathan Steele of The Guardian had to say on June 22nd about these documents that Hamas seized from Fatah headquarters that contained details of this American-sponsored coup, what, in your view, are the most relevant things that our listeners need to know about in regard to what is in that Steele piece for The Guardian?
Well, I think what's interesting as far as for the listeners is that the fact that they found a whole list of weapons and military supplies that the United States was giving Mahmoud Abbas. Steele wrote about U.S. spending $1.27 billion for seven special Fatah-backed battalions, which is a total of 4,700 men, extra training and arms for Abbas's own 15,000 men, presidential guard, and other security forces. I mean, what they're doing is the United States is arming Abbas to kill Arabs. It is fomenting dissent. It is fomenting civil war. And Mohammed Dahlan, as I mentioned last time I was on the show, is one of the key people in the front of all this, because he has been singly provoking war with Hamas to justify his own power base and to prop up his own role within Fatah. And as I said earlier, that Dahlan is probably going to be reported in the local press as some sort of great champion of the Palestinians, as a member of Fatah. And we're going to be hearing more and more positive things about this man, even though he is a nasty piece of work and one of the greatest traitors of the Arab cause in Palestine. And Dahlan's forces have committed atrocities. They've committed terrorist attacks against Hamas. They have committed unprovoked attacks against Hamas. Yet we never hear anything of what this man did when he was younger or how he came to power. Dahlan was born in the Khan Yunis refugee camp. He founded the Fatah's Shabiba Youth Movement. In November of 1994, provoked clashes between his own forces, Dahlan's own personal forces, and hundreds and Hamas. And in November of 94, there were 15 Palestinians were left dead and hundreds were wounded. And in the next February, March, about 2,000 Palestinians were arrested under Dahlan's orders. Dahlan is doing Israel's dirty work, and has always been the case is that the elected officials of a captured, occupied people will betray their own people for the sake of personal glory and personal prestige. And this is nothing, sadly, this is nothing new in Palestine. This is a common problem that has been seen time and time again. And this is one thing I think that Jonathan Steele's piece does show, is that Hamas, the legitimate government of Palestine, has been under serious attack and is being sabotaged deliberately by Israel, by the United States. And you know, we have to stop taking at face value the claptrap that we're fed from the mainstream press and do our own research. And I think I'd like people to go to this story in The Guardian by Jonathan Steele. It's on June 22nd. And read for yourself what the British press are saying, because you will not find any useful information in the North American press, which is so far from Palestine that the lobby can censor it very effectively.
We'll be back with Greg Felton. Yeah. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton from Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. Greg has a great op-ed piece at gregfelton.com today, which is reprinted from the July 5, 2007 Canadian Arab News. It's entitled, As Major Events Unfold, The Media Keeps Us Ignorant and Distracted. As I've said before on the show, this op-ed piece dovetails nicely with some of the themes that were underscored last week by Professor Peter Phillips from Sonoma State University when he was on this show talking about the real links between multinational corporate entities and all of the major media outlets in the United States that are under the control of six specific media consortiums that were mentioned on the show, including Viacom CBS. I was looking at some of the coverage on Sumner Redstone of Viacom CBS that was in the corporate media this weekend, including the London Financial Times. That makes for interesting reading. in comparison with what Professor Phillips was talking about last week on the show, and certainly the kinds of things that Greg Felton routinely helps us to cover on Mondays on Mark Dankoff's America, it is not a pretty picture. And as Greg was pointing out before the last commercial break, on June 22nd, Jonathan Steele of The Guardian in London wrote about the documents Hamas seized from Fatah headquarters that contained details of the coup against the duly elected Palestinian government, a coup that was sponsored both by Israel and the American Central Intelligence Agency. One document dated March 2nd, according to Steele, described how the U.S. would spend, as Greg Felton quoted it earlier, $1.27 billion for seven special Fatah battalions comprised of 4,700 men, and provide extra training and arms for Abbas's 15,000-man presidential guard and other security forces. Clearly, an act of blatant interventionism on the part of the United States, the sort of thing that has gotten us into trouble before, Rudolf Giuliani's attacks against Ron Paul notwithstanding. And in regard to Giuliani, Greg, Alexander Cockburn has a post at Counterpunch. People can find it by going to lewrockwell.com today and then clicking on the link that they provide to the Counterpunch article. And the piece by Cockburn is entitled Giuliani and the Dogs of War. What do you make of the fact, Greg, that John McCain's presidential political candidacy is clearly going down the drain, yet McCain continues to appear before certain types of gatherings, as he did recently when he was speaking to Christians United for Israel, John Hagee's group, and trying to whip up support for America's ongoing war on behalf of Israel. McCain seems to be priming that pump, even as his numbers continue to go down financially as well as in the polls. And yet Giuliani, that presumably is the upper-tier Republican alternative to McCain, is, according to Alexander Cockburn, linking up with all kinds of neoconservatives and Jewish neoconservatives, including Henry Kissinger and Norman Podhoretz of Commentary Magazine. What are we to make of what Cockburn is telling us about Giuliani? What do these links mean that Giuliani is coming up with in terms of his so-called foreign policy advisors?
Well, as Cockburn points out, I mean, what he talks about, let's talk about McCain for a minute first.
Sure.
McCain has really sort of flamed out and has become almost a laughingstock in his own right. He's become a caricature. This is the same man, of course, who wrote the introduction to the odious Popular Mechanics book that allegedly propped up the official narrative of September the 11th against those who argue quite rightly that it was an inside job and it was deliberately, the World Trade Center was deliberately imploded. Wherever John McCain goes, he is dogged by people from the 9/11 truth outfits, people who want to pose difficult questions to him, people who are trying to, you know, have some intelligent discussion of this matter, and he's just hounded wherever he goes, and he just cannot avoid it. So recently he was at a function where he was asked some very pointed questions, and he just walked away. He simply could not or would not answer the questions. He just hid in his trailer and would only take official questions from the mainstream press. John McCain is an intellectual basket case. He is a mockery of democracy. He's walking around like some trained poodle of the neocon Zionist lobby, and he is simply going to say what he has to say to get elected. And I think McCain, in this instance, probably is one of the best examples of just how thoroughly the lobby has polluted American politics. Here is a man who has, in public, previously condemned George Bush, condemned the war in Iraq, and as a Vietnam veteran, has been seen as perhaps a standard bearer for a more rational military policy. Now he goes to Iraq, and he makes bizarre statements about life in Phoenix and life in Baghdad, and in our swirling around Baghdad and Phoenix suburbs, being of a similar measure of security. He's simply lying. He's simply inventing statements that he knows aren't true just to prop up support for Bush's war in Iraq. He is afraid to criticize it. He is afraid to come out and condemn it and say, bring our troops home. Because the only people who really want this is the Israel lobby. Because Israel is the only one who has benefited from the destruction of the Arab state. And you look at just how ridiculous the American government is, the American electoral process is. You don't have anybody running for president. You have people running to be the proconsul for Israel. I don't know if you saw in the New York Times recently a great, great call, a cartoon by Khalil Bindib, who's out of Berkeley, California. He had a podium on some stage with a bunch of bunting with AIPAC on it, and an AIPAC podium, and you had all these contenders from both parties, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, Giuliani, McCain, and God knows who else, all rushing and tripping over each other and reaching for the microphone, and it's an AIPAC function, and below you have this little cartoon character having this little statement saying, and these people are running for the presidency of which country? And I think that really sums up the real tragedy of the United States. It's an emasculated giant. It has no democracy. It's an abject occupied territory. And now to this day, Americans are the new Palestinians of the world. They don't have a country anymore. It's been taken from them. And now over the bones of John McCain's self-immolation over this, we have the repugnant, mobbed-up thug Rudolph Giuliani trying to claim the, I won't say moral high ground, there's no such thing for the GOP, but he's trying to claim the leadership of the party, and he's trying to be more warmongering than thou. And he has surrounded himself with one of the most noxious people in America, Norman Podhoretz, former editor of Commentary, which is the mouthpiece of the lobby, one of the most influential lobby mouthpieces.
And the so-called American Jewish Committee, I believe.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. And it's the lobby, and Podhoretz and other people that have been flogging this war on Iran. They want to bomb Iran into the ground because Iran could become a very powerful force for stability in the Middle East. And once you have that, then the expansionist zeal of the lobby of Israel is thoroughly thwarted. And of course, as you know, Elliot Abrams, the admitted felon of the Iran hostage scenario, Elliot Abrams is his son-in-law. Now, he is one of the he is the one who is now flogging the anti-Iran point of view. He's the one that's frustrating Condoleezza Rice's attempts to find some sort of peaceable solution to this. Not that Condoleezza Rice is any intellectual genius in her own right. But it's Elliot Abrams who is really Israel's man at the State Department. And that's who's running the show. And this goes back, as I sort of my book, from Ronald Reagan onwards. The Israel lobby infiltrated the policymaking levels of the State Department and of the Pentagon. And that's where they began to insinuate themselves into government and get their hands on the levers of policy. And that's what happened. And this is now, we're seeing with Abrams and PNAC and a whole panoply of other people, Douglas Feith, Paul Wolfowitz, both now out of government. These are the people who have been responsible over the last decade or so for flogging the war of genocide against the Arab and Iranian people. And this we see now in the Republican Party, what's left of it, the GOP, which is like God's own prevaricators, a party that is so abjectly in the back pocket of Israel. They cannot even speak for the United States. They can't even put American wounded on the agenda. They can't even talk about the harm being done to the American military. Because at the minute you start talking about what damage the American military is going through, then you have to point your fingers at, well, why were we there in the first place? And again, going back to what I said in my column, that's one of the questions that you're just not allowed to ask. Because once you start looking very, very carefully at why we're in Iraq, you have to come to the conclusion that the only reason we're there is for the sake of Israel. Because there was never, never any logical reason for the United States to destroy Iraq, not just destroy Iraq, but to concoct sophistries to justify destroying Iraq, to go out of its way to destroy Iraq if it wanted oil, because there was always a way to get it if it wanted it badly enough. And I think what Coburn's piece is very, very interesting for, it really should be read by Americans, is why Rudolph Giuliani now is surrounding himself with these warmongering Zionist thugs who have no business other than to promote Israel's point of view in the United States to the detriment of the United States. And I don't know how long it's going to take before the United States Senate and House of Representatives wakes up and formally declares war on the White House, impeaching Cheney, impeaching Bush. And I don't know. It has to come soon, because before they go into their September recess, there's going to have to be some movement, I would hope, to put an end to this madness. Although I shouldn't say madness. That's wrong. It's not madness. It's rational, and it looks madness, but it's not. It's deliberate, and it has a purpose. And what I say in my book is that if you look at how and why the United States has come to such a disastrous end, you can throw your hands up and say, oh, this is just bad, it's ridiculous, it's such a complete disaster. But it's not. If you look at how and why it happened, it makes perfect sense. If you assume that the United States does not have the ability to form policy in its own right, if you assume the White House and the Congress are so thoroughly occupied and polluted by Zionist apologists, by Israel's agents, that the United States, to all intents and purposes, is an occupied territory. And if you look at the invasion of Iraq as policy contrary to the national interest, conducted by people who aren't even Americans, then it does make sense. And since the purpose of all analysis is to make sense out of a situation, even bizarre situations, and if it's the only answer that answers your question, then you have to accept where the evidence leads you. In my book, I got this line from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle by Sherlock Holmes. I think it appears in two or three of the Sherlock Holmes books in varying forms, but it says essentially that once you have eliminated the impossible, whatever is left, however improbable, must be the truth. And the improbable truth is the United States is not a republic. The United States, the country that was founded in 1776, does not exist and has not existed since Ronald Reagan took the oath of office. And if you look at just how badly that fact is true, look at the people who are clamoring to lead the Republican both parties, and how abjectly and sycophantically they are bowing and scraping to Israel. And I don't just mean Giuliani and McCain. Look at someone like Joseph Lieberman. I mean, he's not running for president, but look how reflexively he jumps on board Israel and uses whatever excuse possible to justify the denial of civil liberties to his own people. Last time we talked about the bombing, the alleged terrorist attack in Scotland near the Glasgow airport, well, the first thing Lieberman does is jump on this is proof that we have to conduct spying on our own people because, you know, we can't trust what the British did. I mean, look at the British example. That could happen to us here. Well, no, it couldn't happen to us here. I mean, the lesson of that attack was that it was such a badly made put-up job that it should have been on some blooper reel. But here's Joseph Lieberman blithering on about how we have to, you know, deny ourselves the right to have an opinion different from the government, and how we have to look at Iran as what Coburn says, the prime instigator of the death of U.S. personnel in Iraq, which is an outright lie. And, you know, you look at people like Senator Feinstein and Barbara Boxer of California, and they vote for this anti-Iranian resolution. I mean, you have no freedom of choice. The only person with any respect out there is Ron Paul. And he is the only Republican.
Cockburn makes reference to Ron Paul in this op-ed piece and makes it very, very clear that when Paul can somehow manage to get his way into the Republican debates with, you know, and that clearly contextualizes what the Republican establishment is trying to do in keeping Congressman Paul out of those debates for the obvious reasons. But Cockburn notes that, you know, at this juncture, Ron Paul has more disposable cash on hand than John McCain. And when we come back, I wanted to ask what the implications of this Paul candidacy might be if Giuliani begins to self-destruct in the same way that McCain did. Do the America First people have more of a chance in this thing through Ron Paul than maybe we imagined? We'll be back with Greg Felton. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Perfect harmony and teach the world to snuff the fire.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to alert Greg Felton and also the listeners that this tends to be the portion of the show where we do some things promoting the Republic Broadcasting Network, and where our continuity of conversation with the guest is broken for at least a few minutes, then to resume more effectively at the top of the hour. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us in one of three ways. Use the net to find us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can call us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or you can write us at the Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The American Free Press can also use your help. You can contact those fine folks at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Editor Christopher Petherick has put together an incredible team of journalists, which includes Mark Anderson, who will be on this show on Thursday, by the way, with me for a couple of hours. It includes my regular Friday guest, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, and obviously Michael Collins Piper of both AFP and the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, folks, RBN needs you as never before. AFP needs you as never before. We are dealing in times when corporate media, for all of the obvious reasons, as Greg Felton has outlined it for us this morning, wants to keep us ignorant and distracted. And to the extent that we don't want to be ignorant and don't want to be distracted, that we want to know what's going on and that we want to have some discernment for what we do in the days ahead, that's where alternative media comes in. That means the Republic Broadcasting Network. That means the American Free Press. And certainly it means supporting people like Greg Felton with what he's carrying on in Canada. You can find Greg's website at gregfelton.com. That's gregfelton.com. And, of course, his book is well worth your time, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And, you know, folks, looking at this Alexander Cockburn piece today entitled Giuliani and the Dogs of War, you can find it at Counterpunch, or you can get to Counterpunch through lewrockwell.com, which I know many of us read. Lou has this this Cockburn article on his front page today. I think that we can see at least a measure of hope in some of this. Think about John McCain with the millions of dollars that he has raised up to this point, and yet, as Cockburn tells it, McCain's treasury is empty. So is his ideological gas tank. So is his moral compass. All of that's empty, too, which is indicative of why, ultimately, his treasury is empty. And in addition to the fact that his ideas are bankrupt, and he has a personality which grates against people, again, against their nerves. He now has run out of gas in terms of promoting falsehood. That leaves some other people to take up that mantle. But will Ron Paul ultimately be successful in countering Giuliani in ways that he has already done with John McCain? We'll take up this possibility with Greg Felton and look at some additional news stories with Greg when Mark Dancos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.